Hello, and welcome to Robbinsdale Revisited. In this episode, we sit down with Katherine Lee Scott, a writer, publisher, actor, preservationist, and lifelong storyteller whose life has been shaped by memory, community, and a fierce belief that important people shouldn't be forgotten. Many people first knew Katherine from her acting career, where she became a familiar face on television and in film, most notably through her work on Dark Shadows. But while acting brought her public recognition, storytelling in all its forms has always been the through line of her life, on screen, on the stage, and in the historical record. That commitment led her to the story of Koya Knutson, the first woman elected to U.S. Congress from Minnesota. When Katherine discovered that no full biography of Knutson existed, she stepped in. Partnering with author Gretchen Yernis-Bido, she spent long hours with Koya at her kitchen table in Bloomington, capturing the voice of a woman who rose fast, was brought down by her own party, and then quietly faded from public view, despite an extraordinary legacy. One of the great joys of Katherine's life was helping bring Koya home again, organizing a remarkable gathering at the Minnesota Governor's Mansion that reunited Knutson with the families of the political figures who had shaped her life, including the Humphreys, the Mondales, and the Freemans. It was an act of restoration for Koya and for the history of Minnesota. From there, the conversation opens into Katherine's own story, growing up on a farm within walking distance of Robbinsdale, riding the bus into Minneapolis, skating on neighborhood rinks, and living in a town where people truly looked out for one another. She reflects on becoming a public speaker at just 15, her years publishing nonfiction and entertainment history, and her deep commitment to preserving endangered landmarks. She served on the boards of the Beverly Hills Women's Club and the Women's Club of Hollywood, where she used book events to help save the original Hollywood studio, built by Jesse Lasky and Cecil B. DeMille. History is more than dates, buildings, and election results. It's about people, their voices, their relationships, and the small human moments that too often slip through the cracks. This conversation is about remembering those moments and the people who lived them while we still can.
I fell in love with the story of Koya Knutson, who is a Minnesota congresswoman in the North. I think it was the old ninth. I don't know. Everything is switched around. But anyway, so when I started my publishing company many years later, and I was publishing nonfiction entertainment, that was my catalog. I had a very good year one year and decided that I would do a book on Koya. And no biography had been done on her. So I went back to Minnesota and I tracked her down along with a woman who had already been working on a biography. And I thought, well, let's join forces. So I published the book and edited. Gretchen Yernis-Bido wrote the book. And we spent a lot of time with Koya, sitting at her kitchen table in Bloomington, hearing these wonderful stories. And of course, she was elderly and not in the best of health. But what a joy to get to know that woman. I published the book, Koya Come Home. I brought it in a hardcover. I brought it out later with a foreword by Walter Mondale. And one of the greatest joys of my life, really a high point, is that I brought Koya home again. Thanks to my brother, who got in touch with Rudy Purvich. But he was from up in that sort of Iron Range area. And of course, he knew about Koya. And Koya was really brought down by her own party. That's the sad part of it. It was the members of the DHL that brought her down. He opened up the governor's mansion, and Koya, who had had a stroke, God, that woman had willpower. She pulled herself together, and she was in a wheelchair, but boy, you should have heard her speak. And I was so proud because we invited the sons and daughters. I adored Hubert Humphrey. Skip Humphrey came, Walter Mondale's kids, Orville Freeman's kids. But we invited the sons and daughters of all of the people who had, you know, been part of Koya's life. And that was just extraordinary, you know, to bring her home again after that huge fall from grace. I mean, she'd been living in a vacuum. Somebody that was that vital. And I went and drove her up to Oakley, which is where she was from, and walked around the town together and listened to her stories and everything. Anyway, the book was successful, and I'm doing a little short documentary on her. She really mustn't be forgotten.
Yes, it is so important. As the first woman to be elected to Congress from Minnesota, that is such an amazing...
And how many years later, 30 years later, somebody...
It took a long time.
I never want somebody to be elected because of, you know, gender or whatever. It's got to be the right person. And it took a while for the right person again. But she was such a meteor and an extraordinary legacy. All of the things that she did that, oh my gosh. Anyway, I could go on and on about Coya. But my father couldn't believe that he got to meet Coya.
That's such a high point. And I'm fascinated by your career in publishing. You've done so much and supported women in many ways. I'd love to hear more. And I read on boards of the Beverly Hills Women's Club and the Women's Club of Hollywood. And
I was on the board of those two places because the women's clubs were such a force. They, women's club in Beverly Hills was, it started out as a Red Cross auxiliary group after World War I. And a famous woman architect built a building. It's a purpose-built building. And there were people that wanted that valuable piece of property, and they came very close to destroying it. And we managed to save it. And then, unfortunately, 3 years later, that happened to the Hollywood Women's Club. So I jumped on the board of that one. And the other thing, when I was publishing, I tried to have my book parties at the Hollywood Studio Museum, which was built by Jesse Lasky, and it was DeMille. It was the first film studio in California, and it was a barn, really. By holding my events there, it drew attention to it. It was a fundraiser, and it's still going. I'm proud to say.
Oh, that's the
other thing. Because I always liked public speaking, so I joined the debate group, and then I was asked to join the Tuberculosis Speakers Bureau. I was, I think I was 15. And so I think you got trotted around to all of the Elks, the Moose, the VFW, the Rosary Society, the Library Society, all these things to speak about tuberculosis. And I had the body of a speech, and then I had five openings depending upon my audience. You know, you go in, you read the room, and you figure out which way to go. I had so many wonderful experiences doing that. And I did speak to the library. Was it the Library Society or the library? But it's still there. Every time I'm in Robbinsdale, I drive by it, and I have just such fond memories of that place. So I'm glad it's got a new lease on life.
It's on the National Register of Historic Places, that and the Grazier Park, where the beehive fireplace and the stone picnic tables, that was added to the register this year.
Oh, that's where our brownie troop used to go. That's where we would go for our cookouts. Oh, I remember that very well. Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad maybe they'll award Schweigert Meat the same sort of thing. I said, Jimmy, it's Johnny Schweigert. Jimmy, it was Johnny Schweigert, yep.
Just north of the little picnic area, there is a barn. It's the last barn in Robbinsdale. It's not, nobody wants to tear it down, but it's not protected in any way. And it was built in 1850, by far the oldest building anywhere in town. Well, there's a little tiny Bible bookstore called Oosterhoos or Oster.
Oh, my God, it's been there forever.
And they publish religious tracts, and that they use that barn as their little warehouse.
Good. It's got a purpose. I remember the Oosterhoos. I remember them from when I was a little girl. Nice family. Well, then it's got a use. then it's got a purpose. That's the problem, because it happened with the Beverly Hills Women's Club, and certainly with the, even more so with the Hollywood Women's Club. You know, the membership gets old, and it fails to attract younger members, and they're the ones who are going to take over. It's what happened to all of the big logs, you know, the Norwegian groups, the people that started it. My father was one of the founders, I guess. You know, they grow old and there aren't enough young people that are coming in to support it. So I hope the that Bible publishing company keeps going and, you know, maybe have some offspring. That was the problem with the terrace. It didn't have a purpose.
Fortunately, the library has a purpose. Yeah. We're there. The Robbinsdale City Band uses the basement and an art gallery uses the front. I wanted to ask you what you remembered. You mentioned the old little theater that was in downtown Robbinsdale. It became a dry cleaner. That was the Robin Theater. What else do you remember about little businesses there at 42nd and West Broadway?
Well, there was the Eastern Star de Molay. That was that two-story brick building that was around the corner. Oh, there was a very old filling station on the corner. And there was a wonderful hobby shop down the street, maybe on the other side of the fire department. Let me see. Oh my gosh, is that bar still there?
There was a bar called Adolph's that was in
Is it still there?
No, it burned down when I was in high school.
Oh, okay. All right. So there was Adolph's. And there was a little brick bill corner thing, and it was a little restaurant, and it was just down from Elam Lutheran Church. And I remember you could buy a hamburger there for 15 cents. I mean, a proper one, not just a White Castle thingy. And then they bumped their price up, and nobody from confirmation class could afford to go there anymore. You know, so added nickel, whatever. So there was that little restaurant. What else? A Dairy Queen has been there forever. And then there was the skating rink. I remember that one in Robbinsdale. The fire department was wonderful about anytime you had a patch of land that you wanted flooded for ice skating, they were happy to do it. And there was a wonderful ice skating rink. I mean, I loved to ice skate.
Did you do you remember going maybe swimming over at a Twin Lake?
Oh God, yes. We used to ride our bikes over there and go swimming. Oh yeah, I mean that was amazing. And then across that other lake that's also kind of a twin lake. Dr. St. Cyr had lived there. Dr. St. Cyr was the pediatrician, a GP in Robbinsdale. Everybody went to Dr. St. Cyr. I think my kid brother was, he delivered him. He lived in that brick building, a brick house. And he had his practice in town. But Dr. St. Cyr was terrific.
I always ask people too, did you go into, you mentioned your parents would go into Minneapolis, where there was sort of a center of a Norwegian community. Do you remember taking the bus downtown or did you?
That's how we got there. I remember you could catch the bus on the corner of 36th and Zane and go into town. I remember I went with two of my girlfriends when we were 12 years old, and we played hooky and went to see Love Me Tender, the Elvis Presley movie, down in Minneapolis, and screamed and, you know, did all that thing. That was fun.
Did your parents know you were downtown on the bus?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and by the way, it was a different time then. You know, yes, we worked on the farm. We did a lot of weeding and, you know, picking cabbage. And I mean, we really worked. But, you know, you'd get up in the morning and get on your bike and you were gone for the day. You know, there was never any worry. You just got on your bike and went. You could do anything. You know, there was none of that be home by, you know, or you kind of knew when to come home and, you know, get a meal or when you were kind of expected. But it was just an easier life. I think one of the you generally remember the good things, but I do remember one bad thing. we were so close to these older boys in the neighborhood. And they were just wonderful kids. But they all worked on my dad's farm. That's how we knew them. And they were older. And I'll never forget and it was two brothers that lived in one area. And then there was the Snyder family on the other side. And, you know, we knew all of them. And Jimmy and Billy Anderson, the Anderson family. And then late one afternoon, Billy Anderson put my brother, Orlin, on a bike and, you know, it was his two-wheeler and rode him around and so on and dropped him off. And then he went home and they got in a car and they at the bottom of 36, 36 used to feed on to the highway, directly onto the highway. And there were these four boys and a Crosby and they were hit. I'll never forget the whole neighborhood standing in the street and all four of them passed away. And that was just a tragedy. It was the first time that, you know, I think I came face to face with tragedy. I might have been 8, my brother 7. That really hit the neighborhood hard. The fact that I should remember the Andersons and the Granlunds and the Snyders all of these years later and the boys' names. Yeah, that was a bad one. So they closed up that opening. You can't get through. There used to be a root beer stand down there. Used to be a car dealership down there. And that's all gone.
Well, it sounds like the community was really connected and supportive of each other.
I'd say so. Everybody knew everybody. And my father would have everybody over for corn roasts in the summer. And, you know, yeah, it was long before cell phones and you know, you watched television to see Milton Berle, but you didn't sit and watch television, for God's sake. You know, Robbinsdale was remarkably diverse. In fact, Minnesota is remarkably diverse. People never think of it that way, but in the Iron Range, all of the diversity up there, everything, you know, Finns, Scandinavians, Poles, everything. It's really diverse.
Do you remember Robin Center being built?
Yeah, it used to be just one street. Uh-huh. One street. I do remember that. Robbinsdale was really small. I was growing up. There was only that one street, and even then, I mean, we lived on a farm, walking distance into Robbinsdale, but it was still that's where you went on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, I remember when that was built. It wasn't very attractive. I mean, it was sort of an afterthought. Yeah, I prattled down there for quite a while, but I knew that if I didn't, I would forget these things. Yeah. But I still remember, and so does my brother. He has a very good memory as well, and he's 82 now. You know, I remember all of my classroom teachers, and they were an interesting lot, because when I was in grade school, it was there were still a lot of teachers who had a two-year certificate, you know. You didn't need to get a four-year certificate to teach. I remember Miss Bennett, my sixth-grade teacher, had a two-year certificate, and they were really an interesting lot. I remember the kinds of school projects that you did, and home economics class. I will tell you a story. I've written about it. I write almost a column a month for AERP, the Ethel, which is a newsletter started by the woman who started AERP. It's named after her, Ethel. And I wrote about this, about my mother, because one thing that I you know, we think that there are so many things that are new these days, which aren't. I had two teachers that I just adored. One was my home ec teacher, and the other one was a science teacher. And among the many good teachers that I had, I mentioned those two because it happened that they were living together in a little bungalow in Robbinsdale. And then the home ec teacher died unexpectedly. And my mother, who was working as a school cook, mentioned to me that the science teacher had sought her out. My mother was a very easy person to talk to. And I think that because she was with the school, but lunchroom cook, she was accessible. And the science teacher confided in her that she half owned the house, that there was more to their relationship than just roommates, and that unfortunately the home economic teacher's family, because the house was in her name solely just for propriety reasons, and they wanted her to leave because she was just a roommate, they wanted to put the house on the market. And she wept, she was really upset. It was her life savings. It was everything. And these were not young women. And so she asked my mother if she would go to that teacher's family and explain the situation. And to their credit, they had no idea. And one didn't back then. You didn't think about things like that. To their credit, they understood and came to an arrangement where the science teacher, lived out her days there, and an equitable arrangement was reached. But, that's interesting because probably my most charismatic teacher was Bob Young. I was in an accelerated English class, and he was an incredible teacher, wonderful teacher. But he was kind of, a lot of things were kind of known. And I remember he stayed in touch with me when I left for New York, and I thought, oh God, things happened, and I had an art teacher, and you never really talked about these things, but I think back on it now because it was such a more innocent time. You kind of knew how to look out for yourself and what was okay and what wasn't, but a big deal wasn't made of it. It's really, it's interesting, very interesting. That was the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. Well, it's so amazing that you lived in Robbinsdale and left and still have such fond memories. I'm so glad that you've been sharing.
I have wonderful, fond memories of Bob Young and oh my God, Miss Linskog, who taught journalism. I was really blessed. But the story about those two teachers, it really, to me, very poignant. It says a lot about my mother. It also says a lot about how things were handled. And I think, again, to the credit of so many people that I knew in Robbinsdale, it was just a really nice place to live where people really did look out for each other.
Yes. Well, you've been so gracious to spend part of your birthday with us. Thank you.
It's okay. It's all right. These are good memories, so it's nice. And both of my brothers worked for the Chinese fellow who opened a Chinese restaurant down on 42nd Street, and Brunswick would run into it right in that area. Adair, Brunswick, whatever. And both of them, got part-time jobs cooking for him, learned a lot. And he was a Chinese national. And we invited him for Christmas because he was all alone. And my mother, who was, really sensitive about cultural things. And there's a Norwegian dessert called riskrem. And it's, it's cream and fruit with rice. My mother just instinctively knew that was not the thing to do, to serve. And so she had boiled rice. We'd never even seen boiled rice. Nobody ate boiled rice. But I remember that odd Christmas. It sticks out in our memories because we had this traditional Norwegian meal. And that year we had boiled rice. Along with everything else that we ate. It was very funny, but isn't it funny how these wonderful little memories stick out? But I tell the story only because people kind of did look out for each other.
Oh, this is wonderful. Well, Pete, do you have any final words, Pete?
Those are the kind of stories that I go looking for, because people that were elected mayor and what year they were elected mayor and when this road got built or when that building got built, that's all interesting. But how people related to each other and how they helped each other out, that's what history misses so often. And to just have another account of that, just wonderful.
Lovely to talk to you, Pete. Oh, lovely to meet you. And I wish you the best.
Thank you so much for your time. It's really been a pleasure.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. I'm Crystal Boyd. Robbinsdale Revisited is brought to you by the Robbinsdale Historical Society. Our little history museum is located at 4915 42nd Avenue North in the heart of Robbinsdale. We're open Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 3. You can also visit us online at robbinsdale.org. You found this episode, so you know where to find the next one.
Bicycle into the city every Saturday to see our friends. Back home, sitting hand in hand, when the evening ends, when the evening ends, when the evening ends, in Robbinsdale, in Robbinsdale.
Our theme music is provided by Gabe Barnett and The Rounders.